PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware and Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening and welcome to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. This is the Powell County Sports Network, or PCSN. So it's good to be with you again tonight. It looks like some storms that are kind of losing some energy as they get closer to Powell County, which they did last week as well. I thought it was going to get blown up, but they just dissipated last week as well. But got another storm brewing on the COVID front.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's a storm that doesn't seem to want to go away. We normally start off doing kind of a COVID update, so I'm going to go back to last week. Just to kind of give everybody a little perspective here. So last week, at the end of the week, we had 82 active cases in Powell County. You go to Monday, there were 28 new cases. 17 were released from isolation. That made it an active caseload of 93. So we went from 82 up to 93. And then the report for yesterday, 21 new cases, 7 were released. That brought the total up to 106. So the total case count in Powell County, as of yesterday's numbers, they've not posted anything today, 1,600. Total case count, 106 active, 1,479 have been recovered or released, 15 unfortunate deaths under those circumstances. And then the Powell County Health Department had this as well, the vaccination rates. Powell County has a total population of 12,321. Of that, 5,680 have been vaccinated for 46.10%. 18 and over population, 5,336 have been vaccinated for a count of 56.82%. So a majority of the people, you know, it's only about 350 people roughly under the age of 18 who have been fully vaccinated.
This is fully vaccinated, right?
Yes. And then the population 65 and over 1,341 for a nearly 72% vaccination rate. So the older population, the 72% kind of leading the way.
And I guess that all goes back to when we were always told earlier, the ones that are more risk are those older.
Right.
Therefore, the older generation has had a little wisdom and got the vaccine because they were the ones in danger. Now we're seeing it's not just the elderly, it's anybody.
Yeah, it's definitely trickled down.
Yeah.
You know, and we knew it was just a matter of time, in a sense, before it started getting into the younger population, and unfortunately it has.
And it seems to be doing a pretty good beating on Powell County right now with some young people coming down with COVID. Again, hope there's no serious illnesses with those, but we've seen some spread, or at least a lot of quarantines at school. And I'm not saying they're coming from school. That's not my point of the quarantines. But we've had a lot of at least kids coming to school sick, and they've been around other kids. Therefore, we have to quarantine, or at least that's the Powell County direction. But several students. I mean, we're talking about quite a few students from probably each school has been quarantined. And with the numbers, the way we're seeing them now in Kentucky, I think yesterday was 4,600, which was the fifth highest day since the COVID started. And today was over 4,800.
Correct.
New 48, cases.
4,849.
So I'm not sure where that ranks as far as the highest cases, but I didn't ever remember a day we got to 5,000. So 4,800 has to be up there in the top two or three, I would think. But I'm telling you, folks, it's here, it's real, and it is scary where it could be going. At least it's not growing exponentially. It's doubled since, what, 2 weeks ago?
Correct, yes.
I mean, it was, you know, less than maybe 1,000 or 1,500 cases, and then 2,000 cases. Now we're up to 4,800 cases. I don't want to see where it's going if it gets worse.
Well, even in our county, if you remember last week, I believe it was 46 or 48.
Yep.
And let's just say 46 for the sake of math. Now we're up to 106. That's an increase of 60 in 1 week's time.
Yeah, and if you look at that map, Robertson County, up in north central Kentucky, is orange. They're the lone orange county on the map. And when you look at the numbers of the map, most counties are over 100. And that's really kind of scary and telling. You know, when you're talking about 46% of Powell Countyans have received the vaccine, that's a very, really a low number. Nationwide, I think the average is around probably 60%. Powell County is way below, like, the national average. I heard today they're really impressed with Ohio. Ohio is at 57% of their total population. So in Kentucky, I don't know where we are in Kentucky, but in Powell County, we're far below those averages.
Yeah, I would say probably not very high. And even the positivity rate, 13.16% in the state. So again, those numbers continuing to trend up, even as you mentioned, you know, just the actual positive numbers have gone up 200 in a day.
Yeah.
You know, and that's so unfortunate. Again, when you realize the impact that it's actually having, Powell County, as far as our numbers and everything, you know, it continues to trend up. Once we hit roughly about 30, at that point, I thought, you know, I wasn't expecting it to increase like it has, in a sense. And again, in a week's time, we've gone from the 46 to 106. Let's go back to the football game just real quick, in a sense. Last week, outdoors, people don't necessarily have to wear masks.
We were at 75, right, I think, last week?
Yeah, correct, yes. And at that point, you know, to me, yes, you're outdoors, but you're still not social distancing and you're still confined. But yet, people are not necessarily wearing the mask in outdoor facilities. UK football just announced Kroger Field, football game coming up this weekend. At that point, you're going to be able to go, well, because it's open, you can get to your seats and you don't necessarily have to wear your mask because we're in that outdoor facility. I'm thinking it seats roughly 60,000 people. I'm not saying there's going to be 60,000, but yet what's the impact of that group of people coming together from all over the state and all of a sudden potentially being exposed, and then you're heading back, and now what are the numbers going to be in situations like that, you know, spreading?
It's like this. You're 2 or 3 feet away from several individuals that you may not know.
Yeah.
And you're screaming and you're yelling and you're supporting your team, which is what you do. And you're there for about 3 hours. I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist. 15 minutes inside can get you in a lot of trouble. 3 hours outside, staying within the same 6 feet of the same people, if one person's infected, I'm not sure you're that safe. Now, I don't think outside's 100% safe, but here's, in my opinion, what's happened. We have the folks in the United States, and it's not just Powell County, it's everywhere, has got so relaxed because it was really low. It got down to where it was tolerable. And now people haven't slowed down. We're back. We're normal. We're not changing it. We're normal. And this is what normal gets you.
But we're not.
But
that's the word that everybody's using, in a sense, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Let's go back to normal, 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 normal. And at that point, but yet we're worse off now than we were a year ago at this time.
Oh, we're not even in the same ballpark.
Correct. But yet we're not necessarily doing the same things we did a year ago. And to me, I'm dumbfounded by that idea of thinking, but it's worse now, but we're kind of pretending like it's not worse because we want to be normal, but yet we're not taking the necessary precautions to, you know, eradicate, in a sense.
Well, now that Pfizer has been approved to the FDA.
No, they have not.
Yes, they have.
Day before yesterday.
They got their approval. Pfizer, just Pfizer, not Moderna. Not.
I was thinking they were not.
Johnson & Johnson. They did. They were the only ones that did to this point. But here's the thing. Several employers are now requiring their people to be vaccinated. I even saw an airline deal today where their airline crews must be vaccinated, or there's a $200 charge for each person who is not vaccinated, and there are have to be tested once a week. Now, out of their pocket, they got to give you $200 back because they didn't get vaccinated. There's a lot of people who are quitting their jobs because I'm not going to get a vaccine. I don't really understand losing a job or losing wages because you won't get a vaccine. I understand the principle of the thing. I get it. But I don't, you know, I'm 58 years old. They tell us we should get a, what was I telling you last week? I can't think what I had last year. The chicken pox. What is that? The shingles. I'll get it in a minute. The shingles vaccine for my age, for your age. We're supposed to get that after 50 now. Well, I didn't. Who cares? You know? But I got shingles. I didn't like it. I'm going to get the shingles vaccine because I don't want it again. Now we're seeing people who are getting COVID said, what was I thinking? I didn't think it was real. It's kicking my butt. It's real. I wish I would have done something different. You got several people on the ventilator who are saying now, I wish I would have got a vaccine before I got to this point where I may be dying. Folks, you got time. If you're healthy right now, go get your vaccine. Take your 6 weeks and go through the process of getting fully vaccinated. At least get a shot in the arm. And they came out today with, 66%, I think, now the level of that are not getting infected with the vaccine. Only 6% of the people have been safe. So 34% of vaccinated people are getting COVID, but they're not showing as serious as signs for the most part as the unvaccinated. It's still 95% of the cases in Kentucky are unvaccinated folks, but there are people who are even dying who have been vaccinated. So it's just, it's the same kind of deal as the seatbelt. 95% of all traffic fatalities were not wearing a seatbelt. Okay. 5% still die wearing a seatbelt. If you have any logic about you at all, 95 is better than a 5. It just doesn't make sense if you just look at the numbers and that's all you're looking at. And people want to argue data or where it's coming from. I don't know, but I'm seeing it in real life. I'm seeing it happen to families. I'm seeing it happen to real people. Folks, it's out of control, and we got to get the numbers up from where it is. 46 is really embarrassing, really. We got to get that number up. If we were at 65 or 70%, we get some kind of herd immunity. At 80, they're saying 80% is what we need. So that 34% to get to 80, let's get there, because, and I think there's 30% of people that are stubborn enough not to ever want to get it, so I'm not sure we ever get to 80.
Well, and I would agree with that. And I think on one hand, part of the confusion is that it's no different than what this county is doing and that county is doing. I think people are looking at different media outlets, and I'm going to listen to this one. They're telling me something. Then I'm listening to this one. They're telling me something. And I think people, in a sense, are confused about what is and what isn't. So therefore, they're just like, you know what? Yeah, I'm backing out. I'm not going to do it. And I agree. I can see easily a 30%. Of the population just being like, nope, I'm out, period.
Well, a vaccine, and by definition, is one of the greatest things that we've ever come up with in the United States as far as finding something out that it's a cure or a treatment. This is just something that can help you not get as sick. Folks, it's just a shot. It may get a little sick. I'm not going to say you won't, because I got pretty sick. And I would still recommend the shot. People are going to choose what they want to choose. And that's their right. However, their right's infringing on mine. And that's where the problem is. It's kind of like smoking. I got no problem with you smoking in your own house, your own car, whatever. Don't get in my car and smoke. Don't come in my house and smoke. And please don't smoke around me. That infringes on my rights. So there comes a point to where we got the same kind of issue with not getting vaccinated.
And there have always been divisive things like that in society over a far stretch of time.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll have Coach Lane Mink, hopefully on the air here on WSKV on PCSN Live.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Fowl County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live. This is Dave Faulkner along with Ken Simon. And we're going to be joined now on the phone with the girls, Packin' High School girls soccer coach, Lane Mink. How you doing, Lane?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, let me get, wait 1 second. I messed that up. So,
okay.
Now we're rolling.
Too many buttons to push.
Too many buttons. So tell us, first of all, about your season, how it has gone so far.
Well, we've only had two games into this season. We've kind of going through a bad stretch right now. We've had, even running into early next week, 5 straight cancellations. Either other teams having to cancel, weather cancellations, and quarantine has hit some of our girls now. So we've had 5 straight cancellations. Started the season off real well. 1 win, no losses, 1 draw. Girls were playing really, really well before we kind of hit this rough patch.
Well, I think this rough patch, by the way, will be shared among many, not just us, though.
Yeah.
So how many kids?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh no, I said I'm sorry. It's going to hit every sport: volleyball, football, golf. It's I don't think any sport is going to kind of go and not have to deal with missing players for quarantines and close contacts and all those type of things. It's going to hit every school and every sport, I'm afraid.
Now, how many kids do you have quarantined?
I think we have 4 right now. And out of 16 girls, that only leaves us with 12. So
that's a pretty good lick.
Yeah, it's a good lick. And you know, my heart, it breaks for these girls. They've been out and off season and conditioning. They've been at it since February. So they've been at it for 6 months, started in the weight room, got on the field as soon as the weather allowed us to, and they've worked so hard and made so much improvement. And then, you know, to have this many games canceled, we just really hate it.
Yeah, and it's just, I think we talked about it before you came on. I kind of went on a little rant about COVID. I know last year you guys were really affected by COVID during the season. You personally were affected by it. Where do you see the end of this this picture going?
You know, I will say, I was thinking about this earlier today and talking to one of my assistant coaches and just saying, you know, who's going to win region might be the only team that's able to play, or the team that's missing, you know, key players. You know, earlier this season, I'm just looking through the scores, and Estill County's getting blown out by a team they should beat. And then you look and say, okay, 2 of their better players didn't play.
Yep.
Perry Central got blown out last night. 2 of their better players didn't play. It's going to be almost a war of attrition in just who can stay healthy, who's not quarantined, who's not, you know, who's able to play at the end of the season. And you know, we were hoping we were past this in the summer. You know, we went through the preseason, off season with no issues, no cases. Everything was great. And then, you know, we hit this rough patch, and it's just been, you know, it can't be helped, but it's frustrating for us, especially frustrating for the girls with all the work that they put in.
Oh, I totally understand where you're coming from. But, you know, really, you know, like we missed an entire season a couple years ago with softball. But you guys are really almost missing 2 seasons together. And last year we had a lot of rules and a lot of things in place. Really, this year there's not a lot of guidance on play or whatever. It's just getting hit hard with quarantines.
Yeah. I mean, I think we missed 2 games last year because of quarantine. And then after that, we went through the whole season, didn't miss 1. It was an abbreviated season.
Okay.
We've already, you know, set to miss, either miss or have to reschedule 5 games already. And, you know, we're trying to reschedule some of them for later in the season. Hopefully everyone's healthy. Hopefully, you know, we don't have girls that have been in quarantine, close contact. You know, the girls, you know, they've worked hard. They deserve to have a season, but we also understand, you know, the health and safety of everyone is most important.
At this point, what's the reaction of your players, knowing that this is kind of what it's looking like, you know, over the next several weeks?
Frustration. Yeah, they a lot of them were contacting me today. You know, they understand it, but they're frustrated. They've worked, and this group has worked extremely hard. They have great attitudes. They're really much improved over last year, last 2 years. You know, we kind of came out of the rebuilding phase. We had a lot of high expectations, and still hope to. You know, we hope to get back on the field. But yeah, they're frustrated. They are, you know, frustrated. You know, the ones that, of course, have to quarantine are frustrated. The girls that don't are frustrated that they don't get to play. You know, it's just been, it's heartbreaking.
Well, the sad thing, the way to say this, it seems like every sports team that I can think of in the fall has had quarantine cases at the school, and even at the middle school, we're having some quarantines over there during their sports season. So, I mean, a lot of students are quarantined from school, and you've got the athletes quarantined from sports. It's just been a really big hit here at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and that's been it too, is, you know, going back to school, and, you know, we recognize life has to get back to normal, and we all want that. We all want to be able to, you know, see, you know, the athletes back on the field, back on the court, but, you know, it's also, you know, with this Delta variant coming around, you know, that's just kind of blindsided a lot of us, especially the coaches, because, you know, it's hard to game plan, it's hard to have a consistent lineup, and then you see, too, that the girls are hurt and frustrated that, you know, they've got a quarantine, they don't get to play, they're out a couple weeks, or, and then, you know, I'm not even sick, why can't I play? You know, it's all about, and, you know, it's hard to explain to a teenager, it's about overall health and safety sometimes.
Yeah, but, you could probably make,
you know,
them.
As adults, we get that, but they just want to play.
You could probably make them real mad and tell them that some school districts do it different than we do, and it's less time out. So ours, I think, at least is following the CDC protocol and try to stay in line with what they recommend. And I do think that is the safest, least intrusive way, or most intrusive way, but I think it would help us more in the long run. There's other school districts that are deciding that, okay, 3 days and you're good.
Yeah, and that's, you know, as a coach, You know this as well. We want to see all of the athletes be safe, all of the students be safe. We don't want to see anybody, you know, be ill with COVID. We don't want to see anybody end up in the hospital, God forbid. You know, we want to get back on the field as soon as possible. But I would rather do it the right way and in long term see everybody be healthy and stay healthy.
Yeah, that's the guy. I wish more people had those thoughts, because it seems like the world has gone. And I said this on the air earlier, the world has gone back to normal, and we're really not normal.
Oh, far from it. Far from it. And, you know, on one hand, you do hate it for them. You do see how frustrated the girls are. On the other hand, you know, we don't want to see anybody end up in the hospital. We don't want to see anybody end up, you know, bad, sick. And, you know, if we have to take precautions, and also, you know, I would rather deal with this at the beginning of the season and be healthy headed towards the postseason.
Yeah, I agree.
So if we've got to deal with this, it's kind of like, let's, you know, get everyone quarantined, make sure everyone is safe and healthy, and really make that stretch towards the postseason.
So now at this point, what do your, you know, days look like with your team? Are you able to practice, not practice? Are the players just out kind of conditioning on their own? Like, what's that look like?
We can still practice with the girls who have not been in close contact. We can still, and we've been fortunate, we have not had any close contacts within the team. So, meaning the whole team hasn't had to shut down. Most of them have been, you know, school-related or home-related or however. So, I mean, we're planning on practicing tomorrow night. You know, at this point now that the season's going, you can only do so much at practice, and they're really wanting to play, but, you know, we just don't have the numbers to put a team on the field, especially in this heat, and feel safe with, you know, bringing 11 or 12 girls to a game in 90-degree heat. It's just, it's not safe for the athletes without the appropriate number of substitutes.
Yeah, especially in soccer.
Especially with the amount of running and with the heat index being, you know, upward of 100, it wasn't a safe environment. We're planning on practicing with the girls that can practice, that haven't been affected, and, you know, and then as the girls come off quarantine, try to kind of reintegrate them back into the team, and just hope everybody stays healthy. That's the big thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're talking about now, and you're talking about two different issues. You've got a COVID issue and you just kind of forget about that a minute, but this week has been more like summer. This has been like a typical August. So it makes it really hard with the heat index.
Yeah, if it was in the 70s, we could maybe attempt to play, but and even then, it's, you know, with the amount of running that these girls do and as hard as these girls play, and it is a contact sport,
yeah.
Especially at the girls' level. You know, I always say, you know, boys that are strong and aggressive gravitate towards football, and girls that are strong and aggressive gravitate towards soccer. So it's, you know, a lot of the girls banged up, injuries, and we were fortunate in our first two games to come out of those injury-free, playing really well. I felt like we had a lot of momentum, and then, you know, things get shut down, and it can't be helped, but it's disappointing for us, and especially, like I said earlier, for the girls, it's really disappointing for them.
Who were your seniors this year, Lane?
We only had two seniors, Emma Ginn, who was our goalkeeper, four-year starter, and who's really just kind of the rock of the team, just universally respected by all the coaches, all the players. They love her. They know how much she sacrificed. And, you know, she, you know, kind of worked through two rebuilding years. And it's just really, really positive and encouraging. And the other one, Kansas Stevens. And, you know, Kansas has came a long way this year. You know, and she was always kind of a reluctant soccer player. In her mind, she was a basketball player that played soccer. But this year, she's really became a soccer player. And she can really was beginning in the first two games really to just take over games in the midfield with her, you know, her athletic ability and her strength. She's an excellent passer. So, you know, those two girls we hope can have some semblance of a senior year. You know, they deserve it. And they've stuck through a couple of lean years, and now that the team's really improved and we have a lot of, you know, we're playing well, you know, hopefully we can get back on the field and give those girls the senior year they deserve.
Well, I would say this, sport to sport, I think her playing, Kansas playing soccer will help her playing basketball this winter.
Oh, you know, and I tell people that. I will say, you know, if you're going to be a two-sport athlete and you could go through basketball and look and say, you know, what did Hakeem Olajuwon and Steve Nash have in common? You know, they were both soccer, and Kobe Bryant as well. They were all three soccer players growing up. Yep. And so the footwork that you get, the lateral quickness, it does translate very well from soccer to basketball as well.
Totally agree.
Absolutely.
Just even the cardiovascular aspects of running, I don't think people realize how far these players actually run on any given match, you know, when they're out on the field. I mean, they're running several miles any given game.
Yeah, your average midfielder will run, at least at the high school level, probably 3 to 4 miles a game because it's continual motion. And so they get frustrated a little bit in the preseason with all the conditioning we do. Then when the games start, they kind of get it in that you really have to have good cardiovascular fitness to play this game.
Yes, you do. Now, I tell you what, it takes a different person. It's just kind of like cross country or track to me. Those sports that take that much cardiovascular fitness takes a different animal to be able to play. And I've been impressed with our girls program for the last, since it started. It's been big, but had a lot of numbers and had a lot of success. So hats off to you all in the girls' soccer program. Y'all have done a great job.
Well, we appreciate it. And like I said, the girls have worked really hard, and they're a great group in general, and they've been a real pleasure to coach. Like I say, great attitudes. They work hard. They'll do anything you ask of them, and they want to get out. They want to play. They want to practice. Anytime we have to cancel, it's, you know, can we find a way to play? Can, you know, well, you know, not really today, but they're doing a great job. They're doing a great job, and we're real pleased with, like I said, we had, in my first year, we had, I think, 13 seniors on that team, a lot of really great athletes, a lot of multi-sport athletes, and then, you know, a couple of lean years where we were just trying to get a team on the field. Last year, we had hoped to start earlier. COVID kind of had other plans. You know, this year, I think the improvement that we made overall as a team, I think, with these girls has been remarkable. And hopefully we can get back on the field and sooner rather than later and get these girls back out playing and so they can continue to, you know, continue to show that improvement out on the field.
Now, as far as some of your other players, you mentioned the two seniors. Who are some other players on the team that have shown great strides and improvement, and or even who are your scorers and or strikers on the team?
Right now, and this is the great thing about the team, at least this far this season, is we have, I think through the first two games, I think we had five girls that scored. So we've done really well as far as being able to not have one girl to take all of that load on. The striker is Katie Neal, Jr. Katie's a great kid, great attitude, works extremely hard, very skillful player. In the midfield, and that's really one of our strengths is in the midfield, especially in the center of the midfield where we have Kansas. We also have Peyton Boland, who's a sophomore, and Peyton has made a tremendous amount of improvement this year. You know, she's on a good day 5'1", but wins far more balls than a girl that size should win. She's really aggressive. She's gotten a lot stronger, and she's gotten in a lot her fitness has improved as well. She does a lot of great passing out of the midfield. Avery Lynn, who's a freshman, has really came in and has really played like an upperclassman. She's quick. She's aggressive. She passes very well. And she's done a great job for us as well. On the wings, that's kind of by committee, and we have a number of girls that we can kind of shuffle in and out. That each one of them kind of brings something a little different. Back on defense, you know, we've got some defenders that are really good, and the defense this season is really anchored by Carly Patrick, and Carly's just a phenom. Carly was first-team All-Region as a freshman. She really took over a lot of the leadership roles on the defense even as a freshman. It's continued that this year. I mean, she, in a way, she's almost too skillful to play defense, but she does really good and really is a real steadying force back there with us. And we have some other girls back on defense, Kaylee Smith, Hannah Trent, Mackenzie Sheldon, who's just a bulldog, is 110%, 110% of the time, just works her tail off every practice, every game. And Keely Watkins, who's a junior, been a three-year starter on defense. And Keely is one of these players that you don't really notice her a lot. But then as you watch the game, and we'll watch game footage back and say in 80 minutes, she didn't come out of the game and she really made one tactical error in 80 minutes. You know, she doesn't do anything spectacular, but she does everything well.
She's not a minus.
Girls, oh, she's not. Certainly, she's a plus.
Yeah.
But she's not flashy, and she's small, and you really don't see. Then you'll look and say, I can't really point out much wrong that she did. So yeah. All of those girls combined, I think, really have, you know, a lot of improvement from a lot of those girls, a couple of midfielders, you know, our midfielders that play out wide on the wings, primarily Elizabeth Reif. She's improved a lot this year. Ella Weil, very fast, smaller wing player, very fast, and then Claire Terry has really improved. I mean, every girl on this team has really improved tremendously in this offseason, and you know, we were really excited after the first two games. You know, first game we went to Benefee, played pretty much in a mud pit, won 4-1, could have won 10-1. I think we outshot them 29-3. Just dominated that game. really dominated Morgan County, had some bad luck in that game, tied 1-1, probably deserved to win, but played on our end. And that's something different, too. We're really dominating games in the midfield. We're playing on our end more, and that's, you know, holding time of possession is the best defense. The
You're
other
right.
team doesn't get the ball, they can't score.
Yeah, ball control is huge, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's something we've really focused on a lot, and these girls have really improved on, not only in practice but in the first two games. So we've been really pleased.
Now, when's your next scheduled contest after the quarantines are up?
Well, I've got to think now. It will be, I believe we will be back at it on, I've got to think.
Is it the game after Estill County?
It was the game after Estill County, which I believe was Paintsville.
Paintsville on the 2nd.
Paintsville on the 2nd, and hopefully we will be back on the road then. The next home game would be on the 4th, I think, with
Pikeville. Correct.
And we hope to get those two games in. We hope to get enough girls that are cleared and can get back on the field. So that's our hope, is that we can get back on the field and let these girls get back to playing as soon as we can and as soon as it's safe to.
So next Thursday will be the 2nd. Is that, am I thinking right?
Correct.
Yeah, we'll
yes.
be. We're next scheduled Thursday? To be on the road at Paintsville. And Paintsville's a really strong team, so that one, if we get some girls to come off quarantine by then, you know, that's going to be a test for them. Paintsville's usually, you know, in all sports, Paintsville's good. For a school that size, they do a tremendous job.
Yeah, we'll try to keep you posted next week on this show, too, about hopefully you'll be playing when you play Thursday and Saturday next week.
Yes, we hope to. We hope to. Next home game should be next Saturday, I believe, the 4th at home. I think that's 1 o'clock against Pikeville.
Now, will that be is that a doubleheader, or is it just a girls game?
Just a girls game.
Okay.
And at some point, we planned on broadcasting Monday, the doubleheader against Estill, and I hate that for us, because we enjoy watching it as much as it is for you all. It looks like it's going to be, mid-September before we'll actually see you guys at home.
Unless we got a makeup game somewhere in there, right?
Well, that's true.
Yeah, we're supposed to make that one up, and the girls were also really disappointed because the two games they've had circled on their calendar all, you know, the whole offseason were the home games with Perry Central and Estill County. So
this week.
And those
yeah.
are the two games we've lost, so they've developed quite a rivalry with Perry Central, and they're, you know, right now those are the two programs in the 14th region that everybody is, you know, everybody's gunning for. Estill County is, you know, they're the queens of this region until somebody knocks them off, and Perry Central, well coached, they're always a strong team. So our girls were really looking forward to those games.
Now,
you know, hopefully they get rescheduled for later in the season.
Okay, so mentioning Perry Central, you know, obviously for those of us in the know, they play on artificial turf as opposed to grass, which most people do. Do you think that, like, what are the differences as far as playing on that artificial surface compared to grass? Like, how are your – it's difficult for a player to adjust when you're used to playing on grass and then changing to that turf. What's that like? And do you think that that even gives Perry Central an unfair advantage in some respects at home?
In a way, I guess it does. The main difference is the speed of the game is a lot faster on turf. You know, our field is probably the best that it's looked. You know, Mr. Brewer and his staff have done a great job with it. The field probably looks as well as it's looked in the 4 years I've been here. Still, you don't always get an accurate roll on grass, any grass surface. As much as you try, there's bumps and, you know, there'll be some dead spots and, you know, you can try the best you can, you know. But, it, you know, that's grass. And when it gets wet, the ball slows down. It's harder to run on. Turf fields are fast. And it's flat surface. It's like almost playing on a parking lot. A little bit more cushion, but it is. It's like putting carpet over a parking lot and playing. The ball moves faster. When it's raining, the ball doesn't really slow down. If anything, it gets a little quicker because it almost skims across that turf. You can run faster on turf than you can on grass. There's no mud. And so it does give them a bit of an advantage just because they're used to playing on it. Now, the positive with us, if we were to play them at home, is, you know, they've got to play on our field, and they're not used to playing on grass. So it can work either way, where I think it probably does give them a bit of advantages in the postseason, where they've been playing on that surface all season. But, you know, Estill County's went down there the last two seasons and it's beaten them in the region tournament. And they play on grass just like we do.
Yep.
You know, so it's possible. You know, we can't use that as an excuse as far as, you know, why we've struggled a little bit with Perry through the years. But, when you're used to playing on that quick surface, and their field's a lot wider than anyone else's in the region, too. They have a wider field. And a really beautiful facility down there.
How much wider is that field, which is required to host a region? How much wider is that field than ours?
I would almost say probably 5 to 10 yards in either direction.
Oh, is that big?
It's super
that much
wide.
Wider.
Yeah, our girls. I mean, it's significantly wider than a football field.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's, you know, part of the reason they built it to that specification, which, you know, good for them, but. Yeah, it's wider, so our girls, you know, aren't used to playing on a field that wide, and it takes a little bit of, you know, kind of getting used to. But, you know, it's just there. So it is an advantage. It's not an advantage that can't be that we couldn't overcome or any other team couldn't. You know, Estill County's had no problem overcoming it, so. You know, we shouldn't either.
And really, it's a matter of spacing at that point. Yeah. You know, when you're used to playing on a smaller field, in a sense, your spacing is different. Well, all of a sudden, you get on that larger field, and all of a sudden, you realize that now I'm in a different spot than I normally would be because the field is wider.
Yeah, especially for the girls that play out wide on the wings, it takes them a little bit more to get used to. And realizing, and the way we would like to play is to utilize that space. You know, we want to be able to have girls that can make runs and we can play balls into that space and play them away from the defense and attack outside and back in. That's, you know, and the girls have picked that up pretty well. But, you know, hopefully, you know, in our minds, the wider field should be an advantage for us just by the way we want to play and how the girls have been practicing.
Listen, I think at this point, you know, to be able to get through the quarantine, keep everybody else healthy in a sense, and get back. Obviously, looking at you know, your scores there. What was the difference in a sense as far as the game between Menifee and Morgan County? Obviously, you know, you had a draw at Morgan, were able to get a lot of goals and then opportunities on goals against Menifee. But what was the big difference between the two games there?
And mainly Morgan County. And you hate to say this about anybody, Morgan County was a better team. They're a veteran team, a lot of juniors and seniors. They're also a physical team. And, you know, we're better equipped to play a physical game. But, you know, we're playing athletes that are a little more experienced, a little more skilled, a little more physical. You know, that was the difference. And then just, you know, shot selection, we could say. I think we settled at times for too many shots at the edge of the box or just outside the box when we could have gotten, you know, better shots if we'd have made one more pass. I think that was the big difference. And, you know, quality of opponent, you know, Morgan County is a solid team, experienced team. And that, it just, you know, we also kind of hurt ourselves just settling for too many shots, you know, from outside the box, and we could have had better shots had we been a little more patient.
Well, it's been great having you on here, Lane, and best of luck for the rest of the season. Hopefully we'll have you on here again later on. Do you have anything else you want to share with us about the team or what's going on?
No, we're just, you know, like I said, I'm, you know, the coaching staff, all of us are just proud of the work these girls have put in. Like I say, they're a tremendous group. We've all enjoyed coaching them, and hopefully we can get back to some sense of normal pretty soon.
Trust me, I saw you guys out there practicing hard every day during softball season, so I know you all busting your butts out there. So kudos to you guys for putting in the effort, and thanks to the girls for putting in the time that they needed to get to improve, because we know you get better in the off season. So you all have done a great job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Lane. Appreciate your time, and good luck.
All right.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you, Lane. All right, we're going to step away for a break here on PCSN Live, here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Community, what does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guaranty Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guaranty Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guaranty Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Appalachian Wireless puts service, towers, and technology in areas that other carriers won't. With almost 300 towers in our 29-county coverage area, we know for our communities to grow, they have to have connectivity to succeed. That's why Appalachian Wireless's primary focus is to provide support and service to communities that are in our coverage area. Advancing the gap between technology and communities is our goal of providing a better tomorrow for Appalachia. We are the region's best and most reliable network. We are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live. This is Dave Fowler with Ken Simon. And again, big thank you again to Lane Mink, the girls' soccer coach at the Powell County High School. And I tell you what, we really did. We saw him out there. I saw him out there every day working hard in the off season during softball season. So that's that back in March and April. And so these girls have put in a lot of work. And if you're a fan of the soccer program, and you should be, you need to appreciate the work these kids have put in. You know, it is sad to see that, you know, you now the work you put in, and I'm not going to say it's lost because you gain skills in that offseason. So those skills are not going to go away. So don't get disheartened about not getting to play right now. You'll get to play later on, hopefully, and hopefully we'll get this COVID situation a little bit better under control. But again, the next upcoming game will be at Paintsville.
On September 2nd.
On the September the 2nd. And then the boys won't be back until, the 7th.
Correct. Yes, the way that it looks now, unless things happen to get rescheduled, they will actually be away at Jackson City on September the 7th, the boys team.
And then football right now will be playing at Breathitt Friday night, game time 7:30, our time 7:00.
Let's cross our fingers that it's still a go.
We will not know for sure. Right now we're a go. But we will not know for sure until Friday, so stay tuned to WSKV for updates on Friday to let you know about the possibility of a not being able to go to Breathitt County. But right now, we're a go. That's really all we know.
And if it is a go, we know at the very least it will be on the radio, potentially Facebook Live. Again, I'm still not hearing anything back from the contacts up there, and maybe they're just sitting there waiting to...
I think we'll be Facebook Live because of some things that I know.
Okay, perfect. Well, let's just say if it's a go, then, you know, hopefully it will, again, minimal WSKV, and of course on the radio apps, and then if we have video, then obviously WSKV Facebook Live. So that will be at Breathitt County. And let's go back to this past Friday night. The Pirates played host to Estill County. Competitive, seemingly early on, and then the Pirates gave up a big touchdown with 12 seconds to go into halftime. Yep. And at that point, it was 14-0 Estill County when it should have been 7-0 going into halftime. Estill County gets the ball in the second half, and then from there they kind of controlled everything. Defeated the Pirates 29-6 despite four turnovers by Estill County, and the Pirates just could not capitalize. You know, we talked about it during the game in a sense. The offensive and defensive lines for the Pirates just wasn't quite strong enough in a sense to be able to push the defenders out of the way, or the offensive line, depending on which side of the ball, in order to really make some of those key plays that they needed to. They were limited to roughly 100 yards of offense for the Pirates, and definitely going to have to improve things, especially against a potential Breathitt County team on Friday.
Yeah, and you know, going forward looking at this, I really give credit to Estill County's defense, because they keyed in on what they needed to key in on, and they did a good job against us. Now we have to find better things to combat that. And the problem with that this week, I know, been several players have been out with quarantine. They've been unable, some of those kids have been unable to practice on getting on some of those improvements. So, again, it's COVID. It is what it is. You know, these kids are out there working hard every day. So, they've been working hard in the off season. I think Mike has done a good job with getting these kids ready to go. So, bear with them. Be patient. And I do think they'll make some transitions. But like I said, if they're not at practice, not a lot of fixes can go on until everybody gets out there.
And obviously, you gain experience in live games.
Correct.
You know, I mean, you can practice all day long, but you're not going at it in practice like you would game day.
And you can't afford to with the numbers. Correct. That Powell County has. That I'm not knocking the program, but with the numbers, if you're low on numbers,
roughly 40 players,
you really don't have enough people to scrimmage against. You really can't get a lot of your key players injured, but you have to have some contact to get acclimated to contact. But again, there's limitations to what you can do with a limited roster. I mean, I just wish more kids came out and played football. I do think there's some carryover benefits to other sports. Just hopefully you kids the next year may decide you want to play in, because again, they need more kids out there. They need more bodies. Again, when you're scrimmaging against a dummy squad, this is against nobody. What are you learning? You're just learning where to go on the X's and the O's. You're not necessarily learning about hitting a person. It's a more just about the spots, and there's more to football than just the spots.
Yeah, and a lot of these players are playing on both sides of the ball. So at that point, you know, you're going offense, then switching over to defense and having to do that. And you're exactly right. When you don't have that capability in practice against your number one defense, against your number one offense, and you're not necessarily splitting players on both sides, that's where it goes back to you need almost 80 players, you know, a good 60 to 80 anyway, in order to be able to have the depth
or
in order to develop the
players. At least 20 per side that, I mean, are just one way. But now if you take, you know, Palcani, I think about eight or so of those guys were going both ways at least. And let's say you got five guys out on quarantine. If those happen to be some of those guys playing both ways, that's 10 of your 22 starters out. That's a huge blow. And you know, if you put a younger kid out there that's not physically ready to go handle a team like a Breathitt County, you're putting those kids at risk. And I'm not being short with that, but you're just kind of putting those kids at risk if you put them out there too young or too when they're not ready to play in a varsity level football. So there's a lot of things that has to go into consideration when the coaches make these decisions. So please be patient with the program. Again, COVID is messing with everybody. It's not just Powell County. It's messing with everybody. And, again, the quarantines are going to happen. You know, I've been in school the last couple of days, and it's been pretty frenzied out there. You know, a lot of kids have been going home in quarantine. But, again, stay patient. Stay positive for the kids. Again, if you're in the community and you want sports to go on, you may want to rethink your thought process, because – if you don't fix some things, we're not going to get over this COVID battle. So we're going to step away to another break, come back, just wrap it up here on PCSN Live.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more, remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now or meet with one of our pre-planning advisors here at Davis & Davis Funeral Home for your end-of-life celebration. We also offer tribute videos, memorial websites, and live funeral webcasting. Contact Davis & Davis Funeral Home to discuss the possibilities. Find us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Welcome back to PCSN Live here with Dave and Ken. Again, we got this last segment for you. Again, just to recap, again, Powell County lost last week to Estill County in football. They'll play Friday night on the schedule with Breathitt County. We'll keep you posted on that game. Again, soccer will be back in action. Girls soccer will be back in action on the
2nd.
And boys will not be back in action until the 7th. So it's going to be a little while because, you know, COVID's kind of working its way around places, and we have had several cancellations in all programs. And if you look at the KHSA sports page, they're all over the map there too. So it's not like it's just us. It's a big hit on a lot of schools and a lot of teams. If you look at the map with the COVID map, it's all red except for Robertson County, unless it changed today. It was all red. So we're not in a good place. We need to get in a better place, and I'm not sure we can get out of this. Because I'm not sure you stop people now from their normal way of wanting to do things. And I understand we all want back to that way of life, but I just don't think it's the I think Delta's winning this battle.
Yeah, and there's no telling how many other variants might come along.
Yes,
as well.
Exactly right.
But one of the sports, too, I mentioned briefly here, volleyball, girls volleyball. They've been affected by COVID as well. They won their first match of the season 3-0 over Menifee County. Knott County Central, that game had to be canceled because of COVID. The Lady Pirates ended up playing Breathitt County earlier this week. Competitive the first two
sets. First three sets.
Yeah, the first two were 25-23. They each split and won a game each, 25-18 the third set, and then the fourth set, I believe, was 25-6. I couldn't remember. I know it was significant score, but the Lady Pirates just couldn't get on track. But some positive things at times that we ended up seeing, a lot of ill-timed jumps, in a sense, didn't quite able to set, get some digs, etc. Don't take anything away from Breathitt County, but at this point now, the Lady Pirates, their next four games canceled. They will not play Bath, Knott County Central, Lee County, and Estill, so the girls volleyball team back in action September the 9th. At Lee County, unless something happens between now and then, and you know they're able to squeeze in the game once we get through the 2 weeks.
Yeah, the girls soccer is the only team I think that has shut down at the high school. They are shut down for right now. They did have a COVID case, therefore the team has had to be shut down. So they'll be back in action in about a little bit less than 2 weeks. But as soon as that is scheduled, then I know Jasmine's going to work on rescheduling some of those games. And we'll try to keep you posted as much as we can. Mr. Brewer will try to keep the web pages up as much as he can. So I tell you what, it's just a lot of moving around and shifting. And it's just a frustrating time of year because, like I said, everything went back to normal. And now we really have no mandates from the KHSA saying you need to do this or this. we could go back to what we were doing before if we chose to do that, but it's probably a little bit late to go backwards at this point. But you know, going forward, I'm not sure what direction we all go, but we're kind of locked in by the legislature and the laws of Kentucky right now. So I don't know. We'll have to see how this thing goes.
How it plays out at this point. Our next broadcast, cross our fingers, Friday night at Breathitt County boys football. And then we'll kind of be on a lull in a sense at that
definitely
point.
Definitely next Wednesday.
Definitely next Wednesday. Hopefully Friday we'll cross our fingers. But anyway, at this point, you know, thanks for listening and, you know.
See you next week.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see you next week.
Thank you all.
Thank you for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy. Stream the game to any internet-connected mobile device, made possible in part by Apex Network Physical Therapy, located at 156 West College Avenue in Stanton.